Hi everyone, this is Dave Hughes from the Marketing Group at Worldwide Technology, welcoming you to the latest episode of WWT's Tech17 podcast series. Our Tech17 series brings together subject matter experts, from Worldwide Technology, our partners, and occasionally even our customers to discuss important topics in the enterprise space. So today we're going to go back to one of our favorite and most popular practice areas, cybersecurity. And we've got two experts joining us today, one from WWT and one from one of our partners, Cisco. And the topic we're going to be talking about today is Zero Trust. And to help us do that, I want to welcome to the podcast first from Cisco, one of our major partners, Aaron Wolin. Aaron is joining us from outside or near Charlotte, North Carolina. Aaron is a principal engineer in the security group at Cisco. So, Aaron, thanks for joining us today on Tech17.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
All right, great. Thanks to have you on with us. And a returning champion to our Tech17 series, Kent Noyes. Kent is, like myself, located in St. Louis and works out of our general headquarters here in St. Louis. And I don't want to embarrass you, Kent, but when we talked before the episode, Kent told Aaron and me that he was just promoted and has a very compelling new title, a Distinguished Architect. So, Kent, you're the first distinguished individual by title on our podcast. So thanks for joining us today.
Happy to join. And yes, I am now embarrassed. Thank you.
Well, that's what we're good for here. So anyway, all right, guys. Well, thanks again for joining us today. And let's kind of dive right into it. And, cybersecurity and security issues touches everyone in the all of our customers, the enterprise space, besides just obviously all of us in our private lives. And it's a very topical and popular topic that we talk about from time to time in our podcast. So we haven't talked about this topic before, and it's called Zero Trust. And I think maybe just to kind of kick things off, and I'll throw this to Aaron first. And Aaron, I guess Zero Trust is really a concept that's, been around in the cyber world for a while. It has, seemed to be, regaining, I guess you might say, as opposed to gaining some momentum, but there's, talking before, it seems like that there's opinions on it seem to be fairly diverse. So maybe just to kick things off, just kind of tell us, what is Zero Trust?
So that's actually a more important question than you realize. The fun thing, I don't mean to insult you, you said you're from the marketing team, but marketing has ruined this term for the world, and so it adds a lot of confusion. So zero trust in and of itself, the concepts have actually started off way back in the day. It was actually December of 2003. We had a group of CISOs getting together to try to solve this concept of what are we going to do for security as we start losing our perimeters, the problem of deperimeterization. In this forum, which eventually got standardized into four, the Jericho Forum, it was these group of security experts trying to identify what to do about the fact that our data may not always be within our four walls, our people may not always be within our four walls. And what do we do in a world where we are predicating trust on the fact that you're on the network, right? So if you are on the corporate network, you must therefore be trusted and should have access to whatever, right? You think of it as the hard outside and the squishy needles. The actual term zero trust wasn't actually coined until about 2010 by an analyst at Forrester, John Kindervet. And he took these concepts of deperimeterization and this concept of trust and no access until trust is proven, and he coined it zero trust. And then it's, Google has released something called BeyondCorp around 2014, where it's their corporate implementation of zero trust. And then in 2017 or so, you had Gartner release their version called Carta, and then Forrester extend theirs and called it Zero Trust Extended, and everybody, every security product out there, according to their marketing, solves this problem now, right? And it's truly misnamed. So when you think zero trust, and you'll even see my own Cisco and Duo, our marketing team, say trust no one. That is the basis of zero trust, and it is completely inaccurate. Right? If you trust no one, no one ever gets access to the data, no one gets access to the applications, and no one does any work, and you're out of business. It is trust the correct people, right? Provide the level of access that is required, which is a traditional Cisco, traditional security principle, right? Known as just least privileged access. So to say what zero trust really is, it's a set of security principles saying we need to protect the data, right? Not necessarily focus on threats, right? But to protect the data and restrict access to that data to only the humans, the devices, and the applications that are authorized to access those. And we can go into a lot more detail, but that's basically what zero trust actually is.
Okay. All right. And I don't take any insult by, you know, marketing ruining everything, or at least in this case, zero trust. So, Aaron, I guess my next question is, so when you go in and meet with enterprise customers and you're really talking to them really for the first time about zero trust, I mean, obviously a couple questions that I'm sure you probably hear are, well, why do I need this? And what problems is it really going to solve? How is it really going to help me in my enterprise? So how do you answer those two questions?
That's a great question too. So one of the things that, and I'll give you an example, it's a very, very large financial institution that is worldwide, and they are looking to a zero trust strategy in order to, in their mind, limit themselves from advanced persistent threats, insider threats, right? Basically add another layer of good protection around the access controls, not just to a network where most people think, right, network access control, but also to the applications and application access control and to how their workloads are talking to one another. If they can add the concept of zero trust to this, they are going to then give themselves a better security model or a better security practice in addition to the threat prevention, threat hunting type of security work that they do today. The other side of this where you see it a lot is in smaller businesses. With smaller businesses, they start to say like, well, I don't need network access control. I have all of my documents and all of my intellectual property and everything important is stored in cloud in either G Suite or Azure. Everything's in either, you know, G Suite or Office 365. And I don't have telephony. We just use our cell phones. And we don't have video systems on our network or anything like that because we have no network and no buildings. We just sit in a WeWork environment and share space. And therefore, I need to put all of my access control around protecting my data at the application layer, right? So before someone accesses that application, I need to verify that they and their device is trusted. I see that very rarely. Duo does see that a good bit with the smaller business end of it.
Okay. And I guess just to send this off to Kent. So, what Aaron kind of laid out there, I think is, you know, seems like a, you know, very valid objective, and it's something that, you know, enterprise customers should be extremely interested in and something that they really want to achieve within their organization. But I guess, Ken, I'll throw this to you first. So how, I guess from your perspective, how achievable is that objective using zero trust?
Yeah, so probably not the answer you'd expect from me, but as defined by the general industry and the original consortiums around it, the Jericho Forum that Aaron talked about, those that originally planned it, the answer is really no. Today, we're a little off from reaching sort of the nirvana that is zero trust, there are some specific challenges if you want to do it at global scale. So, removing boundaries at the edge was a big part of the deperimeterization that he talked about. Removing edge firewall, that's not practical still today in some organizations. Encrypting traffic between all resources is a common characteristic of zero trust. Even some of the purists want to assess the trust level of endpoints they're trying to reach resources by using, they think you should be using mathematical methods, algorithmic methods. We're really not to that point yet. It's really more checking boxes of who you are and does the device have a certificate and, you know, a small checklist of things what most solutions people can do. So doing all these things at scale can be quite a challenge. So it's difficult to achieve it, the full vision of it. However, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be on that journey, and you should be. So anyone doing zero trust, in my opinion, is really on a journey towards that end, and they'll probably be there for a long time, and it will improve their overall security posture. And there are lots of things that they can do now with working towards that. So, you know, they can do things like, you know, might have a strategy to reduce your scope and focus on smaller bite-sized chunks, you know, maybe just user access or something like that. I focus on discovering your assets and resources overall so that, you know, you can see their attributes and be able to assess trust from that within the scope of what, you know, you define. I would formalize things like identity, what's your approach and your architectures and your solutions for that, establishing single sign-on and so on, and then just ultimately choosing your core zero trust solution. So there's lots of things you can do on the path to zero trust, and we highly recommend that you do that. And I'm sure Aaron could go on and on and on about this. So any thoughts on what I just kind of reviewed there, Aaron? Anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I really liked it, what you said, especially about the journey, right? Zero trust is not a product, regardless of what marketing departments want you to think. Not I'm going to go implement Duo security and I'm going to be finished with zero trust. It is a mindset. It's a change, or as I called it earlier, a set of security principles around protecting access to data. You know, since the Jericho Forum and still in all definitions of zero trust, we're even seeing, you know, NIST as a draft standard out right now on their definition of zero trust as well. But all definitions of zero trust say that all transactions, that's data transactions, all flows, right? Everything that's happening with the data that you're trying to protect needs to be authenticated and authorized before it occurs. And so, while we are not to a level where we're transactionally authorizing individual actions, right, or individual transactions, you know, authorizing each one is something that is computationally feasible right now in the world. That doesn't mean there aren't a lot of, you know, zero trusty kind of things that we should be doing to get us along that journey. And when you talk about breaking it up into bite-sized chunks, you know, one of the things is that typically, you know, the customers that I get to go out and speak with, they have this in their mind of what zero trust is based on whatever vendor went out there and their marketing team sold them that, if, you know, again, if you implement Duo, you've got zero trust. Well, Duo isn't giving you zero trust because it's giving you a portion of it. So it's helping you authenticate and authorize the users and their devices for human interactive access to an application. Right. So if I go to log into a WebEx meeting, right, and I put in my credentials, you know, accessco.com and give my password and do my two-factor auth with Duo, actually, at that point, I'm also being checked, right, for the device that I'm accessing the application with. Does it meet the security policy for its posture, right? Is it up to date on patches? Is it too far behind? Am I using an operating system that's not permitted, right? And some of those basic checks, like you just mentioned, Kent, right? And so in that regard, I'm really going a huge step forward into a zero trust model for application access control. Now extend that to, you know, the hospital systems where patient records are stored, or financial systems where our retirement plans are, right? Or whatever the data is that's trying to be protected. But the humans are the only things interacting with that data, right? So that brings up a lot of discussion that, that Kent and I and others get to have with customers, which is, you know, what other things are talking to that, you know, back end of that application? Are you, is it what's more commonly now known as a more common software architecture that is made up of microservices where, you know, not the entire application is running in one place. You're running pieces of it in different clouds. Maybe you're running some of it serverless, and all this gets us talking about what are we doing to protect the workloads, because the workloads are talking to other workloads all through API communication now. So we have to look into workload protection and zero trust for the workloads.
Well, thanks, Aaron. And Kent, let me swing this back to you. And I think Aaron was had already touched on what my next question was going to be. And, you know, we've been talking about zero trust and really what it potentially could achieve for enterprise customers. But I think we wanted to kind of focus a little bit on really the application of zero trust within the organization. And Aaron started to touch on that a little bit. But let me swing that over to you and just talk about really kind of where in the organization zero trust is typically applied.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny, before I'd ever met Aaron, we've talked about this topic. You know, worldwide here, we've been doing segmentation and zero trust for quite a while now. I've had a heavy focus on it. And before we'd ever met, we kind of had these domains set up where we apply zero trust in an organization. And we just use different names for the same thing. I think it happens naturally because these are common sort of division areas where different types of assets are to be found. And so, you know, we break it into three domains basically as they really apply it. And the commonality is really kind of in the type of solution that's used in each one of those. So we focus on, first of all, user environments, basically user devices. It could be laptops, phones, things like that that have a user associated with them typically, and also have most of the time the ability to have an agent deployed of some sort to get a little more data on them, or at least a management system over it so you get more data out of it. And Cisco actually refers to that as workforce. That's their domain name for that. And then there's application environments. That's sort of a different, you apply zero trust a little differently in application environments where the servers, physical and virtual, exist in public cloud or on-prem, either one. And Cisco refers to that as the workload domain. And then there's workplace. We have a sort of a different set of solutions. Cisco called it workplace is the third one. This is where you have sort of whatever doesn't fit in that other category, IoT, IoT, IIoT, industrial control, printers, unmanaged devices, basically things that don't support your traditional agents, where the network really is more of a focus of how you establish zero trust in that third domain. So three domains that you'll apply zero trust into: workforce, workloads, and workplace.
So guys, I think just to wrap things up, I think, you know, what we'd like to do for our listeners is talk just a little bit here about the solutions that both Cisco and WWT can bring in terms of zero trust architecture, and really trying to help them address issues and objectives that they have in the space, whether they really know they have it or if they need it or not, actually, I guess I should say. And maybe talk a little bit about the you know, partnership that WWT and Cisco can bring toward this topic. So Aaron, let me start with you.
Oh, that's great. I would start off by saying leverage WWT, right? Bring in the experts like distinguished architect, you know, Kent here and his expert team to come take a look at your environment, get to know what you have, assess it, and try and maybe even do a gap analysis on what it would take to bring you down the path and what order to bring you down this path towards zero trust. That's probably the most valuable thing you can do, is bring in an expert to provide that gap analysis and those suggestions. And then hopefully as part of that, they're gonna recommend products like the ones that Cisco has. Hopefully it's ours, but it's whatever makes the most sense for your environment, I would assume, right? And in that case, for Cisco, we have three primary products that we start with when it comes to zero trust, right? For zero trust for the humans, right, for zero trust for the workforce,
you'll see us talk a lot about Duo. You know, we acquired Duo Security for $2.35 billion because they are fantastic at this part. It's not just the human that is being authorized to access your application. It is the device as well, right? So it's trusting the user and the user's device before giving them access to the application and doing that in a really nice, easy manner for your end users. On the workload side of it, and we have a product called Tetration. And Tetration is designed for workload protection. That's what it does. It's protecting workloads in almost near real-time whitelisting style approach, right? For, you know, after it'll go through, it'll map out workflows between the workloads, right? So what microservices are talking to what microservices and create a baseline, suggest a whitelist policy, let you simulate that policy before implementing it, and then enforce it to incredible amounts of scale, right? And that is Tetration, right? That's our primary go-to product for work load protection. But then there's that workplace protection. You know, why would that printer be able to talk to patient data? Right, or a service or microservice that's housing or protecting patient data? It shouldn't, right? We need to protect all of that IoT and all of these devices and provide that network segmentation and network access control that we've been talking about for forever. I've been doing it since 2002, right? And that's where we call it, we call out our software-defined access with ICE and DNA Center. It's called SDA. And that's our primary go-to for zero trust for the workforce. I'm sorry, for the workplace. And the thing is, it doesn't just stop there. These are just primary products. And during that gap analysis, you know, if you're looking to trust an endpoint, well, that endpoint should have really good endpoint protection software on it. So you're going to be looking at things like, you know, for endpoints, this is our EDR, or next generation antivirus product, or whatever you'd like to call that, right? But you need to have these additional protection layers on top of just those access control mechanisms, right? And that's what I'll give you for the short answer, and there'll be a lot of links in the show notes, I'm sure, to send people for more product information.
Oh, that's for-
Kent, do you want to – oh, go right ahead.
Yeah. Sir.
Go ahead, Kent.
Yeah, definitely. I'll jump in. So – yeah, I think so. They've created some great solutions in here. It makes our jobs at Worldwide a lot easier that Cisco has created those. So we can help along with Cisco. We have SMEs in each of those areas. You mentioned Duo, Tetration, things like SD Access and so on. We have SMEs in that area. We can help with that. We also, I would stress probably more so even solutions for Worldwide services. Implementation, of course, we can implement those as well as design them. We can also help with tangential sort of concepts around identity architecture and so on and help that. We specialize in discovery services as well, right? We have a formal practice around discovery. We can do it in all these different domains. The data center could be application dependency mapping, for example, or in the user environments as well. We can provide discovery services. We have a methodology, formal methodology around zero trust. We offer consulting services on how to plan the strategy. We're big on lab services and evaluations, probably our strength using our advanced technology center to be able to evaluate, compare. We're doing a number of comparison POCs with right now across zero trust solutions. We've also got, you know, sort of the ATC come to life in our digital platform. If you go to WBT.com, it's a lot more than a website. It's a lot more interactive than that, and you have on-demand labs and things out there where we can help facilitate your strategy and your effort around that. And, you know, I did it with integrations. You know, we have hundreds of software developers that are available to us to help bind these solutions together, those domains that we talked about, workforce, workloads, workplace. I mean, if you're going to do this or attempt to do this in multiple domains, you're going to be able to tie all that together. A lot of times that takes some API work to make that happen, so we can help in that area as well. So that's what I'd focus on, Dave, a lot on services, lab services, and our digital platform.
Okay. Well, great. Well, thanks, Ken. And hopefully, and I'm sure it did really give our this discussion has given our listeners some insight into Zero Trust that maybe they didn't know about before, and really stress the importance of applying this to their organization. So with that, I think that wraps up this episode of Tech 17. So first off, I want to thank Aaron and Kent again for joining us today. So guys, thanks a lot.
Well, thank you for having me. Yeah, absolutely. All right, great.
Thanks, guys. So to our listeners, as I think Aaron alluded to, please check the episode notes. We'll have a variety of links in there that will take you to some various content regarding Zero Trust and the various cybersecurity practices that we have here at WWT and Cisco. Gives you kind of a little bit of a deeper dive into the topic and subject matter that Ken and Aaron talked about today in the podcast. And as always, please subscribe to our Tech 17 podcast series. It's free. It's available on all platforms where you get podcasts. So with that, thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time on Tech 17.